And Grandpa, can you hear me okay back there now? All right, good. I know Grandpa can hear me, then the rest of you can. You just ignore me if you're not listening, if you don't want to hear me. But you'll hear me now, right, Luke? All right, you got anything going over there, Luke, or did you mess everything up? Come on. Just fixed it? All right. Catastrophe averted. All right, good deal. All right, but we're going to talk about this first message is going to be understanding the will of God, the believer's authority. And we're going to cover this, and we should get through most of this here today, this first part. However, I'm going to take a series of probably 4 or 5 Sundays to deal with the will of God and understanding the will of God as the scriptures relate it. I'm not going to give you some of these great philosophical teachings of some systems of theology. I'm not going to get into any of those. I'm just going to preach the Bible to you. I'm going to show you what God's word says about the will of God. And I expect that will be enough for you if you listen and you learn and you study and you read exactly what's being there, that you'll understand what the will of God is, because that's what God does desire for us, to know the will of God, which we'll get into. But Paul, when he opens up this letter to the Ephesians, which by the way, there's so much here. When we preach through Ephesians 1 through 6, there's so much here in the book of Ephesians. To cover. In fact, this is a letter to the church of Ephesus, and this letter, as you continue on down, which we're not going to get to for weeks, but because we'll be studying the will of God first, when you look at the book of Ephesians, there's he's dealing with the church, and he's dealing with them all the way through each chapter, and then he gets the final one when he equips the church, and he talks about equipping the church for battle and for war. And he goes through the importance of the husband. This is about the church. It's not really about an individual believer. However, there are individual things that are directed to us in it, but he's actually speaking to a church, and he's telling them how to be equipped and how to fight for war. Because when you get down to chapter 6, you realize that the man that he's talking about is the church. He's talking about the church being fully equipped and ready to fight and ready for war. Well, Ephesians 6 will be something when we get to there, but there'll be a lot before then that will really affect you and I quite a bit. When we get into chapter 5 and we get into chapter 4 and we deal with what God expects in chapter 4, and Ephesians chapter 1 deals with the salvation of the believer before they enter into the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, they must be born again, and it deals with those things and talks about all of those things that are there with that. So there's quite a bit here in Ephesians, but we are going to just cover a phrase here today, and we're going to cover one aspect, real aspect of that phrase, to understand exactly what the will of the Lord is, how we find it in the scriptures, and we'll just scratch the surface of it today in understanding it. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. So Paul says, first of all, remember, this is written to the saints and the faithful, right? So that's what it's written to. But Paul is saying he's an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. That's his authority. And we're going to get into that today and explain a few things about that. Father in heaven, Lord, I pray you bless us now as we go through the scriptures, as we understand it. Lord, I know that it's your will that we preach through this and we understand it and we grow thereby. And I pray your people have hearts to hear, be humble to the truth of God's word, and let it speak to us and correct us and instruct us and feed us exactly what we need. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So as we look at this new series, so to speak, expository preaching on the book of Ephesians, we have to look at the will of God first, because I believe it's a necessity for people to better understand what the scriptures mean when they say the will of God. What that exactly means. When we look at the will of God, sometimes we look at it in some dark, mystical way. It isn't. But the way we look at it is, I wonder if this is the will of God, or I wonder what the will of God is, or I wonder what is the will of God. And sometimes you look at those things and you think of it in that, like, it's a dark mystery, and it isn't. It is not a mystery. There are certain dark providences that God keeps hidden from us for his good pleasure and for your own good. But most of the will of God can be understood by the scriptures completely. And God wants you to know that. God wants you to know that, right? So number one, the first thing I want to say to you is the will of God was Paul's authority for all that he did. The question will arise in the believer's life, what is the will of God for my life? And it is a grand and great question for the child of God to really contemplate. By the way, if you don't care what that is, you're a self-centered, selfish person. Because it should not be, well, I this is what I want. I remember talking to somebody years ago, and I had been in ministry probably about 10 years, I would say, as a pastor, and pastor for 10 years. It was probably, let's see, what are we coming up on? Is this 15 years? I think it's, yeah, 15 years. I was probably pastoring for about 5 years ago, probably maybe a little longer, maybe 7 or 8, maybe I was pastor for 7 or 8 years. And they wanted to be in the ministry, they had trained for the ministry, they had been ordained long before me, and everything else. And they told me how they wanted to be they wanted to pastor a church, and they really had the desire to pastor a church. And that was their desire to do. I mean, they had that. They had already been an assistant pastor before, and they didn't want to do that again. They were just dead set against doing anything, assisting in that capacity again and helping out with that. They really wanted to do that. And I remember asking them the question, well, I've heard, and this was after an hour, I said, well, I've heard what you've wanted to do, but what does God want you to do? That's what I asked him. What does God want you to do? He never answered that. Incidentally, today the man is an assistant pastor again. But it's just, you know, God wanted him to be an assistant, and he was dead set against it. But that's what God wanted him to do. But he didn't want that. Sometimes you don't want what God wants for you. And then you come into a lot of problems. Because you're so self-centered, you want what you want. You're not interested in the will of God. But we'll get to that later. I'll save that wonderful point for later, because we will definitely drive that home like a hammer and a spike in your forehead, or maybe your heart, whichever. But either way, it'll get to both. It'll through your head and straight to your heart, hopefully. Amen? Lord willing. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 15 through 17. We talk about the will of God. Paul mentions, and he says, see them that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. So it is God's will that you are not a fool, that you don't walk in darkness, that you don't walk blindly, but you do walk by faith. But faith is a blind walk when it comes to dark providences. Faith is not a blind walk when it comes to a guide. We have the guide of the Holy Spirit of God, and we have the Word of God. We are not in the sense walking according to our own flesh or our feelings, or maybe you are, and that's the problem. If you are, then yeah, you'll be a mess. But what he says here is, wherefore, be ye not unwise. God's will is for you to walk circumspectly and not as a fool. That is God's will. It is his will that you redeem the time. We'll get to that. And that'll probably be a separate sermon for that. Those verses right there, right? Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Colossians 4:12. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. In all the will of God. So God wants you to stand perfect, mature, complete, whole, having needed nothing, in the will of the Lord. Which means it is possible for you to do. And it is possible for you to know. That does not mean that you will know everything that comes before you. You don't need to know everything that comes before you. You need to walk by faith and you need to believe God. But there's plenty in the scriptures that you do know that you're not following, which will cause you to have some problems. Then you wonder about, you have a fearfulness of the future. But I'll tell you what, if you're not obeying the Lord, you should have a fearfulness of the future. It should bother you. Absolutely. Why should you be at peace in disobedience? Why would God ever give you peace in your disobedience? He's not going to give you peace in disobedience. God's going to judge you for your disobedience. God's going to deal with you for your disobedience. He's going to afflict you at times for your disobedience. Amen? Because he wants you to be obedient. He wants you to follow him. That's the love of God, friend. You may not see it, but that's exactly what it is. God wants us to be wise and to know what the will of the Lord is. But you and I, our answer must be scriptural in understanding the will of God. We must find them in God's word. Great peace will come to the child of God that knows he is in the will of God. So when I understand that I am obeying the will of God, when I am following the will of God, then I can walk in peace knowing that. That doesn't mean that things aren't going to be thrown at me. That doesn't mean that I'm not going to have trials. In fact, it means that I will have them. It means I'm promised them. All that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You're going to have afflictions. You're going to have trials that befall you in the will of God. You have to, because your faith has to be tried in the will of God. It's the will of God that your faith be tested. It doesn't mean anything if it's never tested, if it's never tried, if you're never brought to the end of yourself. You have great peace if you're following the Lord. If you seek to know the will of God outside the scriptures, and you don't seek the Holy Ghost to be your guide through the scriptures, you may well be deceived. I've seen many people be deceived. Well, this is the Lord's will. This is what I believe God wants me to do. Okay, well, what does the Bible say? I find when people want to disobey them, they have the rule over them, they want to go against the Lord's church, they always find a way to do that by mystically pulling the will of God out of somewhere. I don't know what will that is. It's not the one found in the Bible, but they pull it out somewhere so they can disobey and they can do what they want to do. Amen. I've seen it. This happens a lot. Amen. But make no mistake about it. When it's contrary to the word of God, that's not the will of God. That's self-willed, which we'll talk about again. Anyway, by the way, let me say this to you. The will of God is not something we are to seek by feelings or premonitions or visions or anything contrary to the word of God, but through the leading of the Holy Ghost. I don't feel the will of God. I obey the will of God. I'm going to say that to you again. Are you listening in the free seats, in the cheap seats in the back? I don't feel the will of God. I obey the will of God. And we'll double down on that too. I'm going to hit that too. The will of God is mentioned 23 times directly and then indirectly or in other phrases, more than that. But it's mentioned 23 times there. Paul here speaks of him being an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. So the will of God first speaks of his authority. Paul is speaking of the authority by which he comes to the Ephesians. Paul's authority was always challenged. His calling was always challenged. By the way, most true men that follow the Bible, their calling will always be challenged. Always. The authority by which they come through, everything it'll be challenged, it'll be questioned by the very people that listen to them, by the way. By the very people that they are to instruct and teach and that God has made them rule over in that sense and a bishop and to watch for their souls. Those very people will question the authority that they have to do what they do. It's common. It is the way that it is. That you can see that in Corinth. You can see Paul face that in Ephesus. He faced that in Galatians. He faced that. That was a common thing. It was very common. Why? Because people don't like listening. We get stubborn. We just like going our own way. And we really do think we're right. Amen. We do. That's the way we are. Paul was meeting here when his authority spoke of, he was sure in his calling, he was made an apostle, and that's the will of God that he does what he does. 1 Corinthians chapter 1:1, we see Paul do it again. He said, Paul called to be apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and so is he's our brother. He says it again, he makes sure the Corinthians understand that what I'm doing is by the will of God. Paul is not a man going warring after his own charges. He did not call himself, he was not called by his wife, because he couldn't get along with somebody else in the church, so he decided he needed to start another church to get, so that would work. Yeah, those always work well. I've seen all those. You know what they do? They fizzle out. Have you ever seen a blackjack when you light it? You light it like this, and pop, it goes off like real quick, and then it's done. Well, God's fire is a slow burning fire that burns. It's an enduring fire that burns all the way to the end. And it burns through everything, right? When people leave the church, when people walk away from you, when people slander you, when people mistreat you, when they lie about you, when money's not there, when money is there, when you have trials and challenges and heartaches and pain and sufferings and everything else, God still burns that fire in you. And you don't quit, walk away because your wife don't lie, because your wife's upset about something or there's a challenge there or something like that and they can't handle it, so they're done. No, God equips that person. God equips the man he calls by his grace. That's what he does. Amen. So he's not called by in that sense, he's not called by the church in that sense. He's recognized by the church. God's spirit through the church recognizes that calling and recognizes those gifts that are there and recognizes those things. And God makes sure it gets done. I'll tell you what, the man that ordained me, I don't even think he wanted to. I think he had to. I think God made him do it. I'm just being real with you. That's the way it goes. But he was a man of God through the will of God, and that was his ministry. In Romans 1:1, he says, he calls himself a servant of the Lord, being he does not serve himself. And we found in 2 Corinthians 1, the same thing, in Ephesians chapter 1:1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God. He was not one that walked away from his calling when times got tough or afflictions came. But a truly God-called man will not disqualify himself. Also, by the grace of God, he will be kept. He will not walk away when he's afflicted or persecuted. And if he has the authority of God, then he will continue on knowing the one who called him. I will tell you this. So the man that is in the will of God, if he knows he's in the will of God, and that calling is from God, a gang of devils won't stop him, slanders, rebellious, bellyaching, backslidden Baptist, or anything else. He will set his face like a flint, and he will move forward. Amen. If he's the only one that's there Sunday morning, he's the only one there Sunday morning.
Amen.
Amen. That's just it. That's the truth. You know what? These young people need to see that. Right? Not to be afraid of their faces. Not to be afraid of what people think. Not to be afraid of how they look at you or what they don't or what they don't like about what you say or anything else like that, but square your shoulders and preach the Bible to them. Preach the word of God to them without apology. Amen. Be not afraid of their terror. That's what Paul understood. 1 Corinthians 15:10, Paul said, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. And by the way, no man should enter the ministry without this. God will build our confidence in him as we go along in this calling. But make no mistake about it. If he can do anything else and be fulfilled in doing it, then he shouldn't be in the ministry. Because it's not his life. Right? The ministry is not meant for leftovers or loafers. It's not meant for those that can't make it in other endeavors. Right? Like some guy came and visited or called me up one day and said, hey, where can I get a gig like yours? This ain't a gig, friend. This is a church. It's the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not a gig. Yeah, it can't be bought, Simon. Sorry. Fly away on your broom. Right? It isn't of man. It's of God. Right? A man by the will of God, God fits for the office that he desires. Mere desire is never enough, but being equipped is needed, and Paul knew that, and being made for that position by the will of God is needed. But we come to you today. Most of you in the will of God, given here the desires, you don't have the desire to be a bishop. God hasn't placed that in your heart, most of you, or a pastor, or anything like that. How can I rightly apply this text to me, this understanding of the will of God for my life? How does this practically apply to me? It's a great question, isn't it? That every man or woman or child here should have a great desire to know the will of God. Cannot be understated, or overstated, excuse me. Is the authority by which they live. You're the authority by which I walk today and I live is the will of God. By the word of God. That's what it is. It's the will of God. If it isn't, you're in a lot of trouble. If you're living by anything else, then you're in a lot of trouble. My whole life and all that I do, it ought to be the will of God. So the course of this life I'm on should be the will of the Lord. A child of God will walk in great confidence and boldness knowing that he's doing the will of God. And many don't, because they've never looked at it. They've never really cared about what God wanted. Even after being saved, they haven't looked at it like that. When a man believes that he's in the will of God, it is his authority to live by. Make no mistake about it, if we know our endeavors please the Lord, we walk in great confidence toward God. Colossians 1:1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God. Over and over again, we find Paul opening his letters with this authority. I want you to understand, that's the authority. That, by the way, that's how I speak to others when I'm talking to others in my family, my friends, whatever it is, those acquaintances, those people. Why do you do what you do? Well, God's word says it, and the will of God is what we're to follow. It's God's will. And God's revealed it to us. God hasn't left his will in darkness to you so you don't understand it. No, God has made it very plain, right? You have to understand and know that what you are going through in this present life is the will of God for you. That's the problem. You think very small of God, but you think that the challenges that you face today, God hasn't sent them your way. Mm-hmm. He hasn't allowed them. Now, of course, our sin causes sadness and sorrow. Right. But over that is a God of grace that is over all of that, that looks down upon that, right? And is able to masterfully govern you through all of those things, to take you through those things, and to guide you through those things, especially your failures, especially your sins. Like not even those, but especially those. Right. That's where God works the most, when he brings his people through sinful things. And he forgives them, cleanses them, teaches them, guides them, directs them, puts the rod upon them. Amen. Right? That's how God works. And so that's God's will. Right? And he is well able to override anything you've ever done.
Right.
And does, by the way. Does daily, often, override many of the things that you've done and I've done. Number two, the will of God is something we do. That's what the Bible says. The will of God is something that we do. It's not a mystery. Matthew chapter 7, turn there, verse number 21 through 23. I like this. See, these verses here, a lot of people they get concerned about their own soul when they hear these verses. Man, I understand that. You ought to think about your own soul when you hear verses like this. But you also want to understand the context of what's actually being said to you, because it's actually a point of assurity. Most of the verses that people count as verses that cause them to pause and question their salvation are actually meant to give you assurance. It's just your flesh receives them different than your spirit. Amen. Some of you will get that in a little while. Matthew 7, verse number 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Yep. Absolutely truth right there, isn't it, from God? Not everyone that saith, Lord, Lord. Well, what's the difference? Well, here's the contrast. But he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Wait a minute. So you're saying that by faith and by evidence of that faith, I can know and be assured that I'm a child of God by whether or not I do the will of God. Yes. Well, I'm not saying that. God's saying that. But yes, Jesus said that. Yeah, isn't that something? Wait, so I'm supposed to draw assurance from this? Well, you should. That's where you're supposed to get it. Not your warm, fuzzy feelings or your nice pink slippers that you wear next to a fire if it's cold. Those don't do it either. Right? Right, Brother Jacob? Those pink ones you have? Yeah. Right. Sorry, brother. Maybe throw you under the bus. I'm just kidding. He doesn't have those. I don't think, but yeah, that's why. Anyway, I just made that up. not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. So he's saying our faith is a faith that does something. It's not a dead faith. It's a living faith, right? That's what he's saying. That's how you identify a living faith. But he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied thy name? Thy name cast out devils, thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Of course he's going to say that to them. Why? They didn't do the will of the Father, which is in heaven. And then Jesus outlines later, and through the scriptures, what the will of the Father is, which we're going to get to in the weeks to come. We're not going to be able to cover it today. All of it. There's a lot there. Right, Mark chapter 3, verse 34 to 35. And he looked round about on them which sat about him and said, Behold, my mother and my brethren. Watch this. Or look at this, maybe. For whosoever shall do the will of God, the same is my brother and my sister and my mother. You see, those that are my true family in the faith, by the Spirit of God that are regenerated, they are the ones that do the will of God. They are the ones that practice, they are the ones that follow the will of God. Not the ones that are related to me by blood, not the ones that are related to me through Mary or through my half-brothers, not that way. But those that do the will of God. It's spiritual, friend. Some of those that are born again that follow the Lord, that do the will of God. The same as my brother, my sister, my mother. Why? Well, part of the reason why Jesus said, Have you not prophesied in thy name, and thy name cast out devils, and thy name done any wonderful works? Why? Well, that's like the showmanship Catholicism. They're doing all this fancy stuff, but do they follow the will of God? No, because none of the other fruit of the Spirit, none of the other things that the Spirit brings in, none of the other work of the Spirit is a part of their lives at all. It's all an outward manifestation of different things that they want to prove to somebody. 1 John 2:16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Look at this, and the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. That's the promise of eternal security. That's the promise of the preservation of the saints. That he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. That's God's promise, right? That's his promise. That's the promise of eternal life. Matthew chapter 21, verse 28 through 30. Jesus is using a parable here. He's talking about two brothers, two sons. He says in verse 28, But what think ye? A certain man had two sons. And he came to the first and said, Son, go work today in my vineyard. He answered and said, I will not. But afterward he repented and went. And he came to the second and said likewise, and he answered and said, I go, sir, and went not. Whether of them twain did the will of his father? They say to the first. Jesus said to them, verily, verily, I say to you, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. Why did he say that? Because they repented. And they did want to go at first, right? But then they got right with God, they repented, and then they went. What does that tell you? It tells you that the child of God's life is going to be a life of repentance and confession to the Lord, getting things right, getting right with God, repenting of sin, turning from it, learning from it, and growing and serving the Lord through those things. It's not a life of ease and comfort. It's not a life of without challenges and trials. It's not a life without failures. It's not a life without that. It's a life of repentance. So God's people continue to repent their whole life. You will always be repenting. Always. You'll always be getting things right with the Lord. Why? Because you grow maturity and you learn. That's how it works. Ephesians chapter 6. Again, the will of God is something that we do. Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 6. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Here's the key, friend. From the heart. It is the heart, the seat of all emotions and affections. It is who you are, right? It is your heart turned towards God. David said, my heart is fixed, O Lord, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. It is the heart. It is the heart that does the will of God. It's not just some outward. I remember before I was saved, I would try to do the will of God. I would try to do good things. But my heart didn't want to do any good things, and it didn't do any good things. My heart still heaped up wickedness and vileness and everything else. Now, I'm still tempted with wickedness and vileness today, but I have no desire to do it. I don't want it. I don't want it, right? But I'm still attacked with it. I'm still tempted with it, right? The temptation still comes, but I don't want it. I want to fight it, right? Now that flesh wars against the spirit against the flesh, right? So I want to fight it. I don't want to get into it. I hate it. I hate those things that I was saved from. I hate them, and I grow to hate them even more, right? I got to grow to hate those things. That's growing in grace. What he's saying is not with eye service as men pleasers, not so people can see you from the outside, right? But as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. It's your heart, friend. Children, let me tell you something. If you only obey your parents, you only obey this gospel that's preached to you now because you're not in control of yourself in that sense. Your parents are gonna, they have reasonable control over your life and discipline over your life. You haven't proved anything yet. Right. Most of you young men that are here in this room and young women in that sense, but mostly it's young men. Most of you should say very little and listen a lot. And here's the reason why. That's the proper order, by the way. Well, why? I have a lot of knowledge. I know, but you haven't proved anything. You haven't taken your sword out in battle. You haven't fought anything. You have had those temptations where they like to crush you. You haven't been through those things, right? So why should you speak so boldly? You only set yourself up to be attacked by Satan. You only set yourself up for that, right? So you ought to be quiet. You ought to listen. You ought to study to be quiet and to learn, right? And because your sword hasn't been tested out there yet. Your battle, you haven't been tested on that ground yet. You haven't been tested with those temptations yet, right? I hope that your obedience is from the heart. And I have no reason to believe it isn't. I'm not accusing anybody of anything. But what I'm saying is that you ought to be very careful because you have not been tried that like that yet. There are peculiar temptations and trials that will grow that you will be faced with as you grow older. And they're scary. A lot of them are very frightening. I wouldn't want to tell you some of the things that have been in front of my mind in the middle of the night or 5 o'clock in the morning. I wouldn't even want to tell you. I won't. but it's terrible, right? Those are the trials. You have to be tested in those areas. But also, I pray that what you do is something from the heart. It's obedience from the heart. In 1 Peter 1:22, seeing you have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit, unto unfeigned love to the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart, fervently. That's from the heart. That everything that you do, your Christianity, your walk with God, your walk of faith, that it is from the heart. That you dress the way you do because it's in your heart to do that. That you are modest, shamefaced with sobriety, ladies, because it's from the heart. Not because somebody's making you do something. Not because you care about what your neighbor thinks about you more than you care about what your God thinks about you. But because you want to please the Lord. I want you ladies to think about one thing. When you get up in the morning, go about your day, and all of us should, but ladies specifically, because you are objects of attraction to a man. I that's not being perverted, that's just being true. You just are. By nature, what you are and who you are, how God made you, that's what you are. You just are. Plain and simple. Right? That's why every single person that's married here today is married. That's how that works, right? Because ladies are objects of attraction. They just are. Now, that's not, I'm not talking about being sinful and lustful. I'm saying that's just the truth, right? God made us like that as men. He made us like that. However, what I want you to ask yourself or ask the Lord is when you stand before a mirror, when you get dressed in the morning and you do things, does what I have on please the Lord? Ask yourself that question. Is it modest? Is it right in the eyes of the Lord? Am I wearing this because I want to please the Lord? Or am I wearing this because I really want to please my flesh and I want to attract someone? By the way, this is not an accusation. This is something that will help you to understand the will of the Lord and to keep yourself, because it's the will of God that you be sanctified, which we're not getting into today, but we will. But that is God's will. But ask yourself that question. Don't ask, well, will my mom be mad? Will my dad be mad? Will somebody else be upset about it? But no, ask, what does the Lord think about what I have on? What does the Lord think about what I'm wearing? Does it please the Lord? What's my motive for what I'm wearing? Good question, isn't it? That ought to be. Why? Because our lives are so, we're supposed to do the will of the Lord, right? That's what we're supposed to do. And we're supposed to not only do the will of the Lord, but we're not robots. We're not programmed robots. I almost wish it was that easy, but it isn't, right? Because you just program your kids. Doesn't work like that, right? But it's not, and thank God God's given us life, amen, and purpose and reason and all those other things that he gave us. But the point is that you ought to want to do the will of the Lord from the heart. That's what Paul's speaking of. Not just because somebody's watching you, not because of that, but you do the will of God because your heart is fixed on it. That come hell or high water, come shackles or shackles, it doesn't matter what it is. I want to please God, amen, with my life. That is my motivation, yeah, right? If that is, then you have good reason and good hope and good assurance in your heart that you are the Lord's, because that is your desire to please God. No matter what you're going through, no matter what your trials are, no matter what things are happening in my life now, no matter what you did in the past, that doesn't matter. Amen? That doesn't matter at all. What matters is where you're going. And that you want to live to please God. That's all that matters, friend. Amen? That's the importance. Is glory. That's because it brings glory to God. And that's what we live for. That's what we're created for. That's our only purpose in this life, is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. That's our purpose. That's why God made you. That's the reason he made you. That's it. That's the reason. Right? All right. Jesus says those that do the will of God are the children of God. That's what he said. They are the children of God. Because faith in Christ is the will of God. Look at 2 Peter chapter 2, verse number 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It is God's will that every man alive hear the gospel, that it is preached to all men everywhere, barring none, everywhere, to the heathen, to the Pope in Rome, to everyone. that we preach it to everyone. Everyone that we can possibly get it to, we are to preach it to. Right? It's God's will. Why? Because God never made man for hell, ever. He didn't make man for hell. He made hell for the fallen angels and Lucifer, right? But man sinned against God. And man is guilty before God. Amen? And it is God's will that all men should come to repentance. Will they? No. Jesus had those that would not. He preached to everyone and those that would not believe. It wasn't because they didn't have a good enough preacher. Right? The hardness of their hearts for sin. But if you've never repented and put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone, there's no time like today. No time better. Amen? Men stiffen their neck and harden their hearts to the truth of the gospel, Jesus Christ. John 6:28-29. Then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? And Jesus threw a curveball at them. They didn't know how to respond, like most of the time when Jesus spoke to them. Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe on him who has sent. Amen. Faith is the gift of God. Faith is the work of God. So is repentance. They're both gifts of God. Amen. That's what they are. Those that do the Father's will are promised eternal life. In John chapter 6, go there, we'll be there for a little bit here. But John chapter 6 and verse number 37, all that the Father giveth me, shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. For I come down from heaven, look at this, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will, which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life. And I will raise him up at the last day. That's the promise of God. Right there. That is the will of God. That's the will of God for his children right there. We can see it very plainly. That not one of his children will be lost. Not one of them will be left. Not one of them is left on their own. But God will care and meet the needs of all of his children. He will never let them perish in hell. So you and I are to do the will of God. We're to do the will of God. It's not some dark providence, but there are some things to that, but not primarily. Primarily, the problem is you know what the Word of God says, but you don't want to do it. Then things get really dark and really troubling because God has already laid out for you what he expects from you. If you take care to obey the revealed will of God, then you'll have faith to walk with the Lord through dark providences. And you'll have great confidence in him. But I'll tell you something. When things happen and trials happen and you don't have answers that you want, most of the time the reason why you're shaky is because your life, you're not focused on obeying the will of the Lord. You're focused on having comfort for your life. Not obeying the will of the Lord. Not doing the will of the Lord from the heart. Because great peace comes to them that do the will of God when trials come. Amen? And lastly here, we must not seek to do our own will. Jesus made this very clear. You will not understand the will of God if you seek to do your own will. You will not. Jesus said in John chapter 6, and speaking to the children of God that believe by faith in Christ, you must not seek to do your own will. He said it again in Luke 22:42, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. What Jesus was saying is, Father, I'd rather that I didn't have to go through this. But nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And look what happened. There appeared an angel again from heaven strengthening him. Why was he strengthened? His submission to the Father. His submission to the will of God. Not to his own. He set aside. He denied himself, which is an absolute hallmark of a Christian, is to deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow Christ, right? So Christ denied himself and said, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Jesus had a will on this earth too, right? He was flesh. With no sin, but he was flesh, right? He was fully man and fully God. So guess what? He had a will. I mean, he wasn't looking forward to being crucified in that sense. Now he is. As God, he was looking forward to go forward. He looked past that, right? Past all those trials to the joy that was set before him. But he was joy mixed with sorrow, just like your life is joy mixed with sorrow, right? John chapter 5, verse number 30. Jesus said, I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just. Why is his judgment just? He tells you. Because I seek not my own will. Whenever you judge a matter, it ought to be judged by what the will of the Lord is, not by your own will, not by what you want, right? It shouldn't be by, well, this is what I want. This is what my will is. Well, you're going to be self-serving then. If you're always looking to please yourself and be self-willed, then you're going to look at yourself and you're going to say, well, I'm going to judge this matter out of what pleases me. Well, that'll affect everything you do. Your walk with God, your life, everything. Your sanctification, the way you walk with the Lord, the way you view trials and tribulations and everything else, you're going to look at it that way. Through self-serving eyes. That's how you look at it. Well, this makes me happy. Since when was that the most important thing? Right? Since when was that the most important thing in my life that I'm supposed to do what makes me happy? Right? Well, I want to have my best life now. Right? What makes me happy? Jesus said, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. Jesus, when he was on earth, he always sought the will of the Father. He always sought to fulfill the will. Why? To be our perfect example. To show us that he surrendered all things to his Father in heaven. And that you and I are surrendering all things to our Father in heaven. And that we are to surrender all things to his will. Whatever they be. All my wants, all my desires, all my trials, all my tribulations, all my goals, all the things that I expect to look forward to in life, everything. That I surrender them to God. That's what Jesus said. He surrendered it to the will of God. Everything. He says again in John 6:38, for I came down from heaven. He tells you the whole purpose of him coming, right? For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. Again, as our perfect example, he was tempted in Matthew chapter 4 in all points like as we are, yet without sin. He was tempted with the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, which are the three reasons that you and I sin and do anything that is contrary to God's word. Because it pleases our eyes, it pleases our flesh, it pleases our life. So we do those things because of that. That's why. Right? But he said, for I came not down from heaven not to do my own will. I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. That ought to be your goal today. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Jesus, our perfect example, showed us that we must not seek our own will. It's not what's best for me. What makes me happy? What makes me fulfilled? What makes me blessed? What do I like? What do I want? Well, what's the will of the Lord? What does God want me to do? Is God well pleased with my life? Is God well pleased with what I'm doing? Is God well pleased with my direction? Is God well pleased with me? Right? That's the question, isn't it? It ought to be. Jesus was our perfect example. He showed us that we must not seek our own will, but if we would know the will of the Father, we will pray to know the will of God. We will ask God plainly to show us his will, and he will. Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Is that what you seek first? You seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness? Is that what you do in your daily life? Are you a pleasure seeker versus seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness? A lot of time, a lot of money, a lot of effort, a lot of things are given into pleasure seekers. To pleasure seeking. To seeking first those things. A lot of time is wasted on pleasure seeking. Amen. Psalm 27:8. When thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Do you seek God's face? That's the question. Do you live your life seeking God's face? We see the face of God in Jesus Christ. We behold it in the face of Jesus Christ. Do you seek God's face? That is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you, that you seek God's face. Isaiah 34:16, seek ye out the book of the Lord and read. No one of these shall fail. None shall want her mate. For my mouth it hath commanded, and his spirit it hath gathered them. This right here, how do I seek the Lord's face? Right here. How do I seek the will of God? Right here. How many of you seek answers everywhere else but here? That's the last place you go. When it should be the first. Why, you don't believe God has the answers for you? Isaiah 55:6-7. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him. And to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Self-seeking pleasure seekers will not seek the Lord's will with their own will. By the way, you can be in a church like this, and you can grow up in a church like this, and you can hear this preaching, and you can do the exact same thing. You can become self-seeking and pleasure-seeking, and not seek the Lord. It's absolutely possible that you're not seeking God's face for what he wants with your life, what he wants you to do, what God expects from you. Self-willed people are the sign of this age. John 18:4. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said to them, who seek ye? The question, isn't it? Who are you seeking today? If you're lost and dead in your sins and you never repented and put your faith in Christ alone, you never trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior, you never saw yourself the guilty, wicked, vile sinner that God calls you, then you are lost and dead in sins and you are guilty. You are to seek the Lord. The question Jesus asks is, whom seek ye? Whom do men say that I am? Whom do ye say, the Son of Man? Who do ye say that I am? When we seek to please self and make self happy, God will allow us to grow up in that darkness as to his will, because we don't really want to know what God wants for our lives. There's so many people that are openly disobeying and not doing the will of God today that profess to be Christians. They are not doing the will of God today at all, period. And they're having struggles and trials and troubles like all of us do, but they grow up around in darkness and they're wondering, what does God want for my life? Well, how about we start back with doing the will of God? How about you do the revealed will of God, what God has already showed you? How about you be obedient to what God has already showed you? Well, I wonder what God has for me in the future. Right now, he has for you to obey him. That's what he has. You don't deserve to learn anything else from the Lord right now at all until you obey the things that are right before you. Amen. You know, I'll tell you something. And I believe in helping people, shepherding people on a personal level, counseling them and everything else. But you'd need a lot less if you paid attention to the food and the lessons that you're given while it's being preached to you. If you apply those things to your life and heart and obey those things that were given to you, you would need a lot less. Because God prepared them for you for a reason. He already gave them to you for a reason. He already provided that for you. He had provided that instruction for you already to give you, to help you. Right? He's already given it to you. Luke 22:42, saying, Father, if thou be willing, we talk about this, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Matthew 6:9, after this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. That's it. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Everything in heaven obeys God, follows him. The one that didn't want to, left. And still comes to and fro, walking up and down, and all kinds of other things. But God's angels obey him. You know, this world obeys God, it follows him. Not this world system, but everything that God created. The laws that he has placed down. Right? The boundaries that he has set for things stay in their boundaries. How is it that you and I don't? Self-will. That's why. Self-will. Man, that's the reason. Because we're self-willed. And that's proven in the scriptures. We're very selfish. Very selfish people. We want our own way. We want our own things. We want everything to be about us. Right? We try to make everything about us, but everything is supposed to be about the Lord. Everything is supposed to be about Christ. We make all of our trials and all of our temptations and all of our challenges about us and not the will of the Lord. Not what God expects from us. Very selfish. Lastly, God has revealed his will in the scriptures. In closing, you and I can see that the will of God is our authority. We look at the words of God and we see that it shows us what God expects of us in this life. The Bible is our authority for faith and practice, that it is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. If I would know the will of God, I must know the scriptures. We also learn that the will of God is something that we do. Jesus said it, Paul said it, and we have a record of it. It's not some dark mystery, but it's something that we do, and the will of God is something we seek. You're to seek the will of God, right? Through the word of God. You're to seek the will of God. You're not to seek your own will. And you're supposed to seek the will of God, and you're supposed to do the will of God from the heart. And God's word has a lot to say about what his will is for us, which we're going to start to get into next week. But if it's not from our hearts, it'll wither, and we won't continue. We'll walk away. So many walk away. So many young people do not follow the will of God from the heart. And then those temptations come into their lives. When it's time for them to make decisions, they walk away. The temptations become too great to them. They get into sin, they backslide, or they reveal they have never been converted by turning their back on the truth and hating the way they're raised. By the way, I preach to you, there's a very real danger for anyone in this room. There's a very real danger for you to grow up and to turn your back on the things of God. There's a very real danger. Most preachers won't warn you of that. They won't tell you that. They're afraid maybe that might create doubt. Well, I want to create doubt, so you run to Jesus and ask him to strengthen you. Because if you're relying on yourself and your own firmness and your own steadfastness, you will fall. You must rely upon the Lord to keep you. You must rely upon God to strengthen you. You must rely upon him to keep you in his will. But you have to determine that you want to seek his will and you want to follow his will. That's a good question. Do I want to? Do I want to follow the will of the Lord? Do I want to obey the will of the Lord? Is my heart set on obeying the will of the Lord or is it on pleasing myself? There's a struggle there. There always will be. There's a war there. But do I want to please the Father? You know, if I want to obey the will of the Lord, it means that there are a lot of things that I do in this life that I probably won't feel like doing. Right? There are a lot of things like that that I don't want to do. My flesh does not want to do that. And I can be honest about that, right? And say, you know what? I don't tell you that I don't want to do something. You don't have to know I don't want to do it. Right? But I mean, I want to in my flesh. But the inner man wants to obey the Lord, wants to follow the Lord. There are times that we would probably feel like firing off at somebody and letting them have it. But we don't. Why? Because it's not the will of God that we act that way. Right? It's not pleasing to the Lord that we act that way. So we have to ask God for strength. We have to ask God to strengthen us and keep us from doing that. Why? Because it's the will of the Lord that we walk in sanctification, that we're kind. But let me ask you, is your goal today the will of God? Is it? Is that your desire? Is the desire of your heart to follow the will of the Lord? Do you seek the will of God for your life? Or do you seek after your own? Have you been pleasure seeking too much? Have you been seeking your own way too much? Have you been trying to please the flesh and God at the same time? It's a battle, isn't it? It's a war. Right? There are things that we do as Christians that we may not be comfortable with doing. Right? There are people that are naturally introverted. They don't want to be around people for long periods of time. I sympathize with that. I'm not like that. I usually like people. For the most part, they usually don't like me, but I do like them. But the point is that sometimes we don't want to do that. It doesn't make us happy to do that, or it doesn't please our flesh to do that. But your life is dead in giving Christ. It's not about pleasing your flesh. Right? Faithfulness to God, right? We don't vacation away from Christian life. I don't even go on vacation. I mean, we don't live permanently away from God. We don't live permanently in that mindset, right? But we walk with God. We're Christian wherever we are. We're never on vacation away from being a child of God. Wherever we're at, we're children of God. But do you seek to do your own will or the will of Him that sent you? Do you seek to do the will of God in your life? Children, you better get this down now, that you've given your life to Christ and that you want to obey Him in all things, that is your goal, is to please the Lord. If that is not your goal, you'll be taken. I promise you, you'll be taken. If God does not change your heart, and you do not seek the will of God from the heart, to obey the will of God, doing the will of God from the heart, you'll be taken. By the way, that doesn't go for only children, that goes for adults. I've had men serve next to me for 3, 4, 5 years and turn out to not want to follow the will of the Lord and turn against it. So that's not just children, that's any of us. If we decide to follow our own flesh, we can fall. The greatest thing that you can determine today is by God's holy grace that you will follow Him, that the will of God is your desire, and that doing the will of God from the heart is what your desire is. And if it's not, ask God to make that your desire, and ask God to reveal that to you and to strengthen you so that is your desire. Because anything else is idolatry. Father in heaven, Lord, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for the truth. Thank you for the grace that you give us, Lord, to understand it. Help us to apply it to our lives and our hearts. Help us to humbly repent before you. Forgive us, Lord, for being self-willed. Forgive us, Lord, for following our own way, for desiring our own things. Desiring our own way, Lord, in life and not the will of God. Help us to do the will of God. Help us as we unfold through the word of God, we unfold the truths of that in the coming weeks, Lord, that we understand and we grow thereby. Please help us, Father, to do that. Help us to be sanctified, set apart, and meet for the Master's use. And the lost among us, Lord, may they be saved by the grace of God. May they come to repentance and faith in Christ alone for eternal life. Thank you for grace. Bless this time we have. Bless the food to our bodies. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.